Your voice.
Your city.
Your issues.
Your evenings on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
25 minutes to 10 o'clock, and I'm joined now by energy expert Matthew Cruz, who's going to tell us a little bit more about a bill that has been passed in the National Assembly known as the Electricity Regulations and Amendment Act. And he joins me now on the line. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate your time. What is ERA? What is the Electricity Regulations and Amendment Bill?
Hello, and thank you for having me. So yeah, the bill is interesting progression that's now taken place, which is solidifying the process of unbundling Eskom into separate parts. And this is the part now that is reflecting Eskom transmission becoming a separate entity from Eskom generation, Eskom distribution. And transmission, that word transmission is referring to transmitting the electricity that's produced mostly in Mpumalanga, near the coalfields, transmitting it thousands of kilometers across the country. That process or that act is the going to be the main focus for the transmission company. So in terms of the purpose of the ERA Bill, Electricity Regulation Amendment Bill, it aims to amend the current act in order to reform the electricity sector. Specifically, the bill will make it easier to provide more electricity, add new generation capacity, and expand infrastructure. It also establishes the transmission system operator, which is like the marketplace where electricity will be traded, and this will be managed by the National Transmission Company of South Africa. That's the separate now a transmission company that's spun out from Eskom. And the bill sets out the duties and powers and functions of the TSO. So it's towards now the South African energy sector becoming democratized and coming into a state which is akin to the developed nations around the world. All developed nations have a state of the electricity sector that's very similar to ours, where they don't just have one company, which is a state-owned company that produces all the electricity and distributes it to the citizens. When you think of America, think of Europe, you have multiple different companies that provide electricity to the nation, and then you can choose as a consumer of electricity which energy provider you want to receive energy from. So we're going towards that model. And this unbundling of Eskom and this bill that's been passed is going towards the democratization of the energy sector.
Somebody could say that you speak of the democratization of the energy sector. It is nothing more than the privatization thereof. I know that in Parliament, a lot of people were discussing this, and I think the EFF was anti the bill because for them it was nothing more than privatization. First of all, is it? And if it is, what's wrong with that? And if there's something wrong with it, what is the alternative?
Great. So it was EFF along with SAFTU as well as the African Federation of Trade Unions that are displeased with the Electricity Amendment Regulatory Act bill, and they are not in agreement with this bill. So they didn't accept it, but it still got passed through majority. And what they're saying, they say similar things. They say that this is going to lead to the price of electricity increasing exponentially, and that it's the privatization of the government, the publicly owned companies, and it's allowing then private industry to come in, which will be, in their opinion, devastating to the country. So that's their objection. And SAFTU themselves, they point to aspects of the bill. They talk to each energy provider or electricity provider needs a reasonable return commensurate with the risk. So that means that the companies that are providing electricity will be able to name their price for the electricity that they're going to be providing, and that this will lead then to the increasing price of electricity. So unfortunately, from my perspective, I do see this actually taking place. I do see the price of electricity increasing quite a lot over the next 5 years as a result of this unbundling that we're going through. So there's going to be, in my opinion, as we go through this kind of very slow and reactive unbundling that should have happened 5 years ago, it's happening in a very incompetent way, and it's very vague in terms of how the process is going to be rolled out from the government side. And they're kind of hacking the process together in a way that reflects for me a lot of incompetence. And as a result, what's going to happen on our side in terms of electricity users is we're going to see the price of electricity continue to increase while we still have load shedding. And this will further then, in my opinion, accelerate the Eskom death spiral, the utility death spiral that Eskom is in, where electricity users will start finding alternatives in the form of solar power for their homes and businesses instead of using Eskom as a provider of electricity, as those options of solar are becoming much cheaper than Eskom itself. And in terms of privatization, so no, it's not a direct privatization. It's not like we've gone ahead and sold 49% of Eskom to a private company. Like some governments have done that. They actually go and admit that we can't run electricity utility, and we need private companies with expertise to come and help us with this. So we saw this in Serbia as an example of a developing nation that this happened, and then they sold 49% of their state-owned utility to, in order to bring about efficiency. So we're not doing that. We're not actually selling our equity within Eskom. But we have confirmed from Eskom's side that we're not going to be producing any or creating any more generation assets in the form of solar and wind power, and also coal power within Eskom. It seems like Eskom's not going to produce any more gas generation plants either. So Eskom's been given the order to like halt in terms of creating more generation capacity and allow then independent power producers to come in and provide power to the grid, to the level of two-thirds of electricity coming from independent power producers by the year 2035.
That's privatization, Matthew.
Yeah, so it does look like privatization.
If it walks like a duck, you know, it walks like a duck and it does all the other stuff like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? Here's the fundamental question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the duck a problem here?
So the duck is both a problem, but is necessary. I'd say that. The reason why I say we need the duck to be here is because we've had 30 years of this now. We've had 30 years of Eskom trying to do a good job, but having severe political interference in its inner workings. And that came to light from the Zonda Commission, exactly like what happened and how it happened and all the different ways in which there was the convicted, convicts as yet, but the accused number one, how there was these many corrupt practices that took place within Eskom. And interestingly, we have not seen really a massive turnaround from those years currently with Eskom, and I can point to a couple of things, but the one thing I can say is like under Derrida, he came out of the book just kind of exposing all the worms. He named directly two senior ministers, two Pravin Gordhan, that he had discovered were heavily involved with extracting money from the state through Eskom. And to date, I've still not seen those two names of those ministers printed anyway. I've not seen any kind of turnaround from ANC saying, oh, these are the ministers, this is what they were doing. We've put them in jail now, and we've turned around, and we've now stopped the practices that they were doing. No, there's been silence, there's been nothing. So that talks to me that there has not been a turn away from the corrupt practices and a transparency focus towards merit from the ANC. So both Zuma years and current years, we just have this constant corruption, this constant extracting of the money from the states through Eskom, and Eskom failing as it's going about its duties as it's meant to be doing. So we've had the non-duck for 30 years. We've arrived now at this energy crisis that we're in now. Now we need a duck to come in, because it seems all the developed nations around the world that are thriving, they have ducks, and the duck is helping them have a democratized energy sector.
All right. So it appears to me that we've come to a place where we can't do anything without the involvement of the private sector in the production, mm-hmm. in the management of the production and in the management of the distribution of power in one way or the other, whether the face of it all remains Eskom, but ultimately the back office sounds to me like it's going to be private.
Well, in some sense, yes. In some sense, no. Okay. So I'd like to bring in a distinction there. So the transmission company itself will be still a publicly owned entity that's independent. And what will be private, though, is the electricity providers, so the independent power producers that will put down large solar farms and wind farms and also some gas, natural gas places, some modular reactors are coming from nuclear side. They will then be able to interact with the independent public entity transmission company in the same manner that that transmission company interacts with Eskom Generation. So it's introducing competition into the market. It's not really selling out what's currently there, per se.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
So I'm for this unbundling, and I'm for the democratization of the energy sector, because even though it's going to lead to pain in the short term of prices increasing for now, as there's not that much competition that's actually going to be present as we switch over.
That's been happening all the time, isn't it?
Yes, so it has been happening. Yeah, that's very correct. We have had constant prices increases as it is. So the current solution that we have is not a solution. It's actually leading towards the destruction of South Africa. So the new solution that needs to come in will in the short term increase the price of electricity. However, once we have in 5 years' time more competition, more generators, electricity generators that have entered the market, then overall the price of electricity will start to come down quite sharply as there's competition, and then the more expensive providers get told, sorry, we're not going to take your electricity because we've got ample electricity. But for now, while we don't have ample electricity, we have electricity shortage, the power producers will be able to name their price. And that naming of their price will then skyrocket the price of electricity, unfortunately, over the next 5 years.
It appears to me that whichever way this dice rolls, we the consumers are in the drain. Hey, Matthew?
So I would say,
we go back to the way Eskom has always been, and that is a monopoly that produces power, which is probably what SAFTU and the EFF would like to see.
Yeah.
A more traditional sort of Eskom, and whether or not we move towards a more unbundled with a lot of private sector cousins and so forth, it looks to me like the short term reality for consumers, whether they are and help me here, whether they are private consumers like you and I, or whether it is perhaps even companies, big mining consumers who have been known for the longest time to get far, far more preferential rates than everybody else. It looks like the reality of increased power, the cost for power is going to be the reality for everybody, whichever way we go.
Yes, yeah, and that's the unfortunate situation that we've arrived at using the old solution for the last 30 years. So we've arrived at this energy crisis now where the price of electricity is already unsustainable for the poorest of the poor. And we've had the price of electricity doubling over the last 5 years. I project that it will double again over the next coming 5 years, but for different reasons than previously. So this current unbundling that we're going through will, in my projections, lead to a 15% year-on-year increase of the price of electricity, which will lead to doubling over 5 years. And just to come back to the price being already unsustainable and impacting us and hurting us, there's been a very interesting development on the solar energy side of the equation, and taking your energy needs into your own hands, both as a household and as a business, where right now, if you're going to go and get a solar system that you can get a subscription for, you can do a power purchase agreement with, you can actually get power for cheaper from your solar system than if you're going to get it from Eskom. And that's not having to put down any money in terms of any kind of capital or any kind of expenditure from your side. You just kind of sign a contract, a company comes and installs on your roof. So Home Energy, the company I work for, does this, and also for businesses. And they'll then sell you power to your house, or they'll have a subscription that matches your current electricity bill. And so the money you save from then getting solar electricity will match then the amount that you're paying for the system to be on your house. And that then stops the price of electricity increasing, plus it makes you immune from load shedding. So there's interesting solutions that are coming where there's no impact on your monthly budgets by switching to solar. And that's what I'm seeing is going to be very much accelerated in the country now of people moving away from the grid, just taking care of their own energy solutions more and more.
What should we as consumers, and I'm focusing here really at the residents. I've got a feeling that the big companies mm-hmm. already have a solution in their own minds as to how they're going to deal with this. But what mm-hmm. should we be doing? What should the people in the various human settlements be doing to try and mitigate against the price increases that are coming, regardless of what ideological ideological move the big politicians and decision makers make? We're gonna pay more for electricity. That is an absolute certainty. What do we do now? How do we mitigate against all of this?
Great. Well, if you happen to be in a household that isn't able to get solar, for instance, the roof isn't right, you don't have the ability to get solar, there's many other things that can be done in order to reduce your dependence on electricity. So what this looks like, I rent, so I'm not able to get solar for my house. And so going into winter last year, I went and I bought a whole bunch of, and it's not going to sound nice because it's still like us having to find our own solutions. But I went and bought a whole bunch of warm clothes. So then I said, that's literally terrible.
Oh,
I've come to this, if you want to invest in some stocks, invest in the stocks of companies that sell nice warm clothes, because going into winter, you're either going to be burning fuel, like wood and stuff in your house, or you're going to be putting on layers and trying to stay warm that way. So, it is laughable. It's either like we laugh at the situation or we cry in this kind of place that we find ourselves in now in South Africa. But there's things like putting on more layers. There's also getting a gas heater or other ways to heat your house apart from just using your electricity heater. We use gas now at our house, a small little gas portable stove. It's a one-ring stove for when the power's not out, not here, but we also sometimes use that even in the electricity, just to save electricity. So there's like many things that can be done to avoid using electricity in order to bring down your electricity bill. And then for the households that are in a situation where it's a two or three person household, and I'd say it's like the middle of the economy, the middle base, where I also find myself, I'd say do go and look at what solutions there are online. So do your research. Come and take a look at home energy sites and come just look around at the options that are available for subscription or rental models. Because right now, it's very interesting. You can actually, from the 1st of April onwards, there's a price increase that's coming from the 1st of April, where when you get a subscription or rental service for your house, you can actually save immediately month on month on your electricity bill. So what do I mean by that? If you're spending 1,500 Rand on electricity right now, the subscription that you get could be 1,200 Rand as a subscription, but you'll be saving 1,300 Rand on your electricity bill. So actually save 100 Rand just by signing for someone to come and install solar on your roof, and then you make an immediate saving, plus you stop the increasing price of electricity going forward for yourself over the next 15 years. And you have electricity when there's load shedding. So there's very interesting options like that if you do your research that may be surprising to you. We found from our side at Home Energy that it's more education. People don't know that this is actually possible right now because the cost of all these products have gone down so much. So it is possible to find alternatives to Eskom right now.
Between you and I, just me and you, Matthew, mm-hmm. forget the hundreds of thousands of people that are listening to us right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but feel like this is all deliberate. I can't help but feel like the crises, the breakdown in our ability to distribute, the ideological issues, the ultimate promulgation of this bill, the ERA bill, all of these things are, I can't just help but feel like it's all deliberate to enter a new industry, the industry of renewable power generation. Am I off the mark here?
Mm. So I can understand how it can seem that way. And it makes me think about a phrase that the late Ted Blum, energy expert, used to say, where there's a happy relationship between corruption and incompetence. And I'd say that it can look deliberate because there was intentional sabotage of Eskom assets. We know this. There was intentional sabotage at the power stations. I saw myself when I was working at Eskom, intentional sabotage when there was not the pay increases that people wanted, intentional sabotage and destruction of the assets of the power stations themselves. That led to now a situation where, amongst other things, corruption and intentional sabotage has led to now the energy crisis we're in. So when you look at that, we could say, okay, there's intentional actions that led to us now being in a situation where we need additional generation to come into South Africa. Eskom has no money because it's pretty much been all stolen. The government has no money because it's pretty much been all stolen. So now private industry has to come in. So you could say, well, that looks intentional towards the agenda of private players coming to the market. Or you could look at it from another perspective of, well, there's a lot of stealing that's been going on continuously. There needs to come a different solution to the stealing.
Yep.
To remove the ability to steal, and this is the next solution. So I think it's more the latter than the former in terms of this was all intended. I see a lot of stealing all over the place from all the SOEs. Every single state-owned service has failed catastrophically, and there is private now coming in to help with the rails, help with the postal service, help with the landlines, the telephone lines. Every single service the government has meant to be taken care of for the last 30 years has failed catastrophically leading up to this election. And I don't think it was intentional just for this election to switch from the current incumbents. I think it's more that there's been a whole bunch of stealing that's been going on, and it's led to us now needing to implement the new solution that reduces their ability to steal. That's my current thinking.
I haven't asked you about the private sector, especially the big energy users, the mines, the motor vehicle manufacturers. How are they going to get through all of this, or are they going to be all right?
So yeah, this is where it's interesting. Where the private sector themselves have been rising up to take care of the needs of themselves, but then also provide electricity to the nation. So interestingly, there's been great action from the mines, from all the big electricity users themselves to put their own generation assets onto their properties to be able to provide their own power and then also sell power onto the grid. And we look at some stats of Eskom estimating that there's been 5,500 megawatts of solar that has been deployed in the country, and 80% of that's over the last year and a half. And that equates to roughly 5.5 stages of load shedding in terms of megawatts, in terms of the volume of solar panels that have been deployed. So it's significant. It's almost a quarter of our entire generation in the country, as we only generate roughly 22 to 24,000 megawatts. You think of like 5,500 megawatts. Like almost a quarter of our entire electricity supply has been installed by the private generation in response to this energy crisis, and also to the in response to the financial aspect of the electricity price increasing continuously. So they're all raising up. They're putting down capital onto or getting purchase agreements onto generation assets for themselves that they can also then provide power to the grid for when they get money for that. So this is part of what the transmission company becoming independent will allow, is that you can then contract with the transmission company to provide power to the grid and then receive money for that. So it's just further accelerating the clean energy transition that we're going through in South Africa.
The Electricity Regulations and Amendment Bill has been passed now. It's going to be an act, I understand. Is that going to be the reality?
It hasn't been passed immediately. So Parliament has approved it, and now it's going to go to the National Council of Provinces for consideration. And that is meaning that it'll only actually come into law and be confirmed only towards the end of this year or beginning of 2025. And this itself is also a reflection of the incompetence that has been going on, where this bill was ready for Parliament to view it and to vote on it in April last year already, but it only came before Parliament in August last year. So there was a whole bunch of time of just like delay from the ANC government, which is expected. And now, as a result, we're only going to see this actually get passed into law at the beginning of next year.
The small matter of the elections that's going to be taking place on the 29th of May that may not deliver the kind of government that may ultimately sign this into law, whoever the president might be, what are the implications there?
Jeez. Well, I started to think if this election goes so haywire that we end up with a majority that no longer wants this unbundling to happen towards the democratized state of electricity. I shudder to think in terms of what that would do to the country. So let's say in a theoretical world where EFF got 75%, right? And theoretically, then they're very much opposed to this, and they want Eskom to just continue to be the monopoly and increasing the state of the communist dream, you know, like the communist dream. We have the state does everything, and you just do what the state tells you to do. And they would then walk back all of this progress that we've been doing, plus they'll break all the contracts with independent power producers that we currently have, and they'll break all the contracts with America, Europe, that we've taken lots of money for towards this just energy transition through the Just Energy Transition Investment Plan that was like lauded as the best plan in the world from like COP26 and stuff. So if that happens, then unfortunately, I think we would then get to a point where we have electricity similar to the rest of Africa, where you have power maybe two or three times per day for two or three hours per day, and we would then become a failed state.
Unless you have solar.
Unless you have solar, then you don't have any load shedding. Yeah, so I started to think that we get to a place where we have a parliament that wants to walk back all of the progress that has been made, because this has been in the works now since 1998 and has been always the future of South Africa. It's just taken so long to get to the point of actually implementing it, and a turnaround now would just be catastrophic, in my opinion, for
Matthew Cruz,
for the country.
I want to thank you very much for joining me this evening, and thank you so much for being so candid and very, very insightful in your explanations. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.